This is June from the Angels Wing account, and with me are here today my lovely co-hosts Casper, Espresso, Johannes, and Rubble. We are very excited for this episode to welcome Ashlyn and Jack, who are two incredible artists that don't really need much introduction, I think. We are very happy for them to have them in our gallery and to hear their story today. And as usual, I'd first like to invite Casper to briefly share the Angels Wing Gallery for everyone who's listening to our weekend space for the first time.
Yeah, so always very happy to share this story of how we got started. So basically, I've been going around NFT projects for the last maybe a year or so, and I've realized that what's sorely lacking is help for independent artists to showcase their work because of all the attention that 10K PFP projects get in the space. So why not set up something where everybody can come together, especially independent artists who get to feature their work in our beautiful Angels Wing Gallery. So if you're an independent artist who would like to feature your work, do get in touch with us. And if you're a collector looking to get in touch with the artists on a more intimate level, get to chat with them in our Discord, feel free to join as well. And we also have some secret projects that are ongoing. I won't let that distract us from this episode, but you can have a look at our tweets on our space to see that we have started some interesting DAOs. I wouldn't let too much out of the bag. Come check us out. Thanks, Yun. Back to you.
Thank you, Casper. So let's start right away. So I would like to invite Ashlyn first to tell us her story. So I hope I pronounced your name correctly. Is this Ashlyn?
Yep, you pronounced it perfectly.
Great. So I just, it was great that you wrote on your Twitter profile the pronunciation of your name. Welcome. And just so glad to have you here.
Excited to be here.
And I also want to thank you for these incredible portraits that you made for us. I just joined also as a listener, as you can see. And I really, really love this this portrait. And not sure whether anyone can pin this. This is really nice billboard that you made for us to the space so everyone can see.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll pin it.
Hi.
Please go ahead and tell us your story and your story as an artist and how you got into the NFT space and why you love to create these comic-like illustrations and how you became so good in storytelling.
Thank you. Sure thing. So IRL, my name is actually Stephanie, and I'm the creator of Ashlyn. You can still also totally call me Ashlyn. And I got here in April. I've been doing illustration prior to Web3 also. I was working with children's illustrations, and for a couple of years I was working on a passion project video game, an indie game. And at the root of everything, I just love storytelling. And what I really dove deep into when entering Web3 was this idea of interactive storytelling. And prior to Web3, I was actually like kind of turned off by Web3 and a little skeptical of it because of like a very specific interaction I had with like a very toxic side of Web3 a few years ago. But I was reintroduced by a good friend, and then I met communities like yours that were really sweet and welcoming and inclusive, especially to both members and newcomers and artists. So I know that this is a place that I really want to be building in.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm happy to hear that something convinced you to change your mind that the Web of 3 can actually a good place for artists. Tell us a bit about your these stories that you created. So you have one collection that you started on OpenSea. And I guess there will be like future stories to this collection, right?
Oh, yeah. So currently I do have a larger scale, something very ambitious planned. Currently I'm focusing on these individual interactive stories that I am in the process of revealing. The collection that I have on OpenSea right now is tied to the very first one, the kind of like introductory interactive story. And I will be revealing some more of those, like similar to that kind of process, and then learning from each of them as I go along.
Nice. And this new collection that you created on Foundation, which started out as this no formal, your no formal NYC NFT party kind of thing. Will you continue, like, will there be additional story to this collection as well?
So specifically the no FOMO NYC party for this year has been wrapped up, but I definitely do have plans for more of this style, like this big group, interactive, everyone together in one place for sure. I actually have a couple planned in the works.
Yeah, awesome. So I was really impressed how you actually managed in that 1 week to create so many artworks within such a shorter time. And I mean, we talked briefly via DM about your productivity. So yeah, maybe tell us a bit more how you actually do that and not to burn out.
Oh yeah, so a really important part of that was the preparation that I could do beforehand. So with the very first piece, with the bleachers, that I could prep in advance because it was like a thank you piece to a lot of friends. So I was able to kind of gather that before even starting the whole party. And then the backgrounds for the billboard pieces where the 10 people got featured, and I was very excited to have the Angel Wings friends up there. And then the after party, which most importantly was providing a lot of space to incorporate people. So the background for that was completely done. And then the hard part was within a time frame fitting everyone who contributed like in that piece. So I would have a full day of working, which is insane, but then I would balance it out by making sure the day after and the day before I had a very light workload to really catch up on both sleep and like energy. And so, what was really important, oh sorry,
so as a question, so interaction in that case was everybody who interacted with your tweet was somehow drawn. That's correct, right?
Yeah. So everyone who interacted with that billboard piece, because for that day I could only feature 10 people, I made sure that everyone who had interacted with it ended up in this, the after party piece, which were the pieces that ended up on Foundation. And I wanted to make sure that everyone felt seen and didn't have FOMO, not just from NFT NYC, but also from that previous post.
Yeah, that's really incredible, and it's also so generous of you to just spend so much time on just include everyone in your story. I think all of us really appreciate that. So you create your work with Procreate, or what tools do you use for your illustrations?
Yeah, I actually do mostly use Procreate for these. Occasionally, I'll flip between, I'll take things into Photoshop because they have better like measuring tools and stuff like that if I really need specific measurements. But otherwise, I actually work almost completely in Procreate.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And I was wondering, because you have just so many, like some pieces contain so many little figures. Do you create them on all separate layers, or or how do you do that?
If it's like a smaller piece, I'll usually tend to put people on separate layers. For these, I actually did like chunks, like layers, like kind of people in the foreground, people in like the midground and background, and I tried to separate in chunks like that. So that's how I kind of divided up those layers.
I see. Because usually when I work in Procreate, I have the feeling that it's just, I usually quickly reach the maximum of layers I can use, and I like to work with like all, to have all elements on separate layers. So when I need to change something, it's just easier to reverse it. But yeah, so it's interesting to see your process. And
yeah, I totally feel you on having everything on a separate layer, because that is my natural go-to. And my layer minimum, because of the DPI I work with, is usually like 50 minimum. So it like forces me to condense everything.
Yeah, I get that. do we have any questions from our co-hosts? Casper, please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Aislinn. Thanks so much for joining us. As you will know from my PFP, I really admire your art and your illustrative skills. You've been alluding a lot to very secret projects that are going to be derived from some of your art that's been ongoing. Care to give us any hints as to what direction this is going towards? I mean, we are on a podcast after all. Just a little tiny hint.
Well, they will definitely be tied to an NFT collection, like a full, complete, larger scale collection. So I think I could release that bit. And it will definitely also keep the interactive storytelling aspect to it as well.
Ah, I see. Okay, I wouldn't put you on the spot by forcing you to share too much. But is this more of like something of a personal project? Or are you working with a larger team?
It's rooted in a personal project, but I think it's actually eventually going to grow into a larger team. That's actually part of the plan.
Wow, that's really amazing. And I'm sure everyone here is really looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's very exciting. So we're looking forward to see what you will reveal in the future. Rabo, you have a question.
Yeah, hi. Hi, Aislinn. So I've been following your Twitter even prior to the billboards. And I really like how you craft the stories around the PFPs. Just wondering, typically, how do you get inspiration to, craft the narratives? Do you engage with the people behind the PFPs, or it's really what you imagine the PFP to be?
Oh yeah, so it always starts with just like a PFP that I find really cool, and I'll actually DM that person. And so I actually have a private one-on-one conversation with each person who has one of those comics. And a really important part of building the narrative for it is we exchange these kind of personality questions about who their PFP is, what they like to do, and then any extra information or visions that they have for this PFP. And then I will take that and kind of sketch up an idea for a comic, and then we'll kind of go back and forth from there. And yeah, that's how the narrative sprouts for those. It's heavily connected to their vision of their character.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful idea, because, you know, it really brings an added dimension behind the PFP and tells an interesting story. So I hope you continue on this as well, even with your upcoming projects.
Thank you so much.
I have another question. So are you planning to mint these individual persons from your images as individual NFTs? Because, for example, I would like to have my avatar also in my wallet. That would be an interesting fact for me.
Oh, so you wanted to turn the billboard drawing into an NFT?
Yeah, so I tried to extract my face from your billboard image to make it my Twitter avatar for some time. But it's not prepared for that. So I was wondering if you are going to plan, if you are going to make all these little persons from your billboard image and make an individual PFP for these. so that I can buy my Johannes.
I didn't have plans specifically for the billboard pieces to be turned into PFPs. I do eventually have plans for a PFP collection, but actually maybe we could talk a little bit after this. We could try to figure something out for that if you want.
I'm sure I'm not the only one.
I think it's actually an awesome idea to create like everyone who wants to join your comic world to have like a PFP created by you. And I was very, really interested to have an NFT like of my, mine's actually also pretty good. So because it's very isolated, but yeah, still would be pretty awesome.
Okay, I enjoyed the time because I was next to June, but sometimes I want maybe have a single PFP.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. I gotcha.
Yeah, hi, Aislinn. So on your, I think it was your OpenSea or your Twitter profile, you did share some personal stories about yourself and some of your own personal journeys, right, that led you to NFTs. I'm not sure if this is an appropriate forum to ask, but I'm always very interested to find out how artists start their journey into art and how it kind of all translated to where they are right now. Would it be possible to share a little bit more about what you shared on those platforms, about how you got started? I mean, I know you mentioned that you worked with children's illustration books. Are you a full-time artist or is this more of like a passion project?
Currently now I am full-time. I was kind of back and forth. I was working art, but I did also have another job previously before this. I was actually working custom, so I was a little bit still with art, but I wasn't I had to do my own stuff a little bit separately. But yeah, I mean, originally, like even as a kid, like my mom would make these little empty booklets to keep me occupied. And I would just draw in little mini books all day and write stories. I have like binders of little stories I wrote as a kid. So I think I, at a young age, I got really into making stories. And then kind of all throughout all of my schooling, I just kept with it because I knew it was something I wanted to do. And then I went to art school and then it all took off from there. And I found out that I really enjoy making people happy with illustrations. And I think that's what led me into children's book illustrations. And like my mom had roots working at a preschool. So I got to be around kids a lot and it was something that made me really happy. So I got really into children's books for a while. And even like paper, I used to make paper pop-ups. I got really into that.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, I think so the storytelling thing is definitely still at the roots of everything. And it's a way that I connect with people. This idea of taking something that's in my head and interpreting it on paper, and that's something that felt like a special connection, like even just doing those comics with the PFPs. It was like helping to bring something that they saw to life too. And that's why I want to keep doing this.
Okay, thanks very much for sharing.
Thank you for sharing. So I was wondering, so your style is very unique and is the character also like of yourself? Is it something that you have developed over a while or... I mean, how do you keen up with this type of character, like regarding style? And it's just something that's developed over the years, or can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, Ashlyn's actually kind of a recent development. What was interesting is the world around her was something that had actually been brewing for a much longer period of time. And when my partner and I were thinking about this larger story for her, or this larger storyline, we wanted to figure out who was this main character in this story. And that's where we started brainstorming. I have like so many sketches of who Ashlyn could have been and like alternate versions of her. I think there was one vibe I was kind of going for specifically. We ended up going very Gen Z vibes. And so that's part of the iconic little dyed hair strips in the front because it's a very trendy look.
So is the main character, it just, does this reflect yourself or is this like a silly question? But
originally I hadn't planned on it, but I think as I started integrating myself into Twitter, I ended up kind of accidentally infusing myself with Ashlyn. And I think it just kind of works out better that way because I feel like I understand her a bit better because I put myself in her a little bit.
Yeah, that's great. Do we have questions from the audience maybe? If not, then let's move to our next speaker, Jack. I also think that Jack doesn't need much introduction. His work is very outstanding and style is very unique. Welcome to our space and our gallery, Jack. So tell us a bit about your story and how you got into the NFT space and your mission in this space particularly.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here among a room full of friends. I think I'm friends with every person I see in here. It's so funny talking to you all finally after we talk every day online. So great to be here. And Ashlyn, I'm such a fan of yours. And it's crazy to see what you've accomplished in your short time here, too. But I just love this world you're building. Or Stephanie. I love that. I didn't even know that that's not your real name. So props to you and everything you're building too. I'm a big fan, but thank you all. Yeah, so I've been here in the space only since about March. And it's funny, I work professionally as a graphic designer in branding and has worked as a creative director in the agency world. And I actually never had done illustration or 3D work until this past year. I have been working in that space for 10 years now and, you know, focusing mostly on like corporate brands and creating work for other people. And so back in, I think it was November, I quit and went full-time freelance. And so I've been still doing the same work freelance, but it gave me a lot more space and time to focus on myself. And a lot of it had to do with my mental health and just trying to like create some space for myself and wanting to feel creatively inspired again. I think obviously pandemic hit all of us hard and I just was feeling a little stagnant. And so I wanted to try something new. So as I shifted to freelance and had some free time, I started just dabbling with some 3D work just because I wanted to learn it. And as a designer, I'm a big fan of like typography design. And there's this challenge called 36 Days of Type. And every year, 36 Days of Type hosts this where designers from everywhere submit a different letter every day for the full alphabet and all the numbers. And so I challenged myself to do a 3D sculpture of these flowers and the different letters of the alphabet every day. And that was like my first time ever doing illustration or 3D work. And you can see those on my Instagram too. That's the only place I've ever shared those. But so that like introduced me to this like interesting style that I really came upon by accident, just by trial and error. It was not something I like purposely pursued or had visualized. It just kind of, I rendered something out and it looked like that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to embrace this. So that's kind of how this whole art thing started. And then kind of in parallel with that, I heard someone talking about NFTs. I wanted to hear more about it. I got brought in through my BFF and Hug. And then I just, you know, it really painted this picture for me. I realized what's possible here. And I started to meet all these artists. And I like randomly shared one thing I made one time and someone reacted to it. They thought it was cool. And I was like, that's cool. I've never shared work and had people be into it. So I'm going to just keep doing that. So it kind of all happened together where I started to see the community potential within Twitter and NFT world, and then how my art could play a role too. And also, of course, seeing kind of the NFT space is really focused on those big projects and people maybe that are a bit more privileged in the space that already have the money to invest are succeeding even more. And so that made me passionate about these underdogs and the artists who maybe not be getting the spotlight they deserve. So that all just kind of naturally, organically formed into where I'm at today. And now I'm like obsessed with making art on a daily basis. It's so much fun. And, you know, hosting spaces, meeting artists, meeting this Angels Wing community, it's just been really fulfilling. And right now it's something I'm doing for fun to try to kind of like build a foundation, but I'm hoping to be able to be doing this more full time in the future and stop that freelance work with the client work. If I don't have to do client work in the future, that's a dream for sure.
That's really incredible. And I'm really happy that you found like kind of your audience here. And it's just incredible how much success you found during this brief period of time. And it's so congratulations for that. And so tell us a bit about how you actually create your 3D sculpture type of illustrations and what tools you use for that.
Yeah, so I use Cinema 4D, which I had like dabbled with years ago for a client project, and it turned out so bad. I was so bad at it, and I had to trash the whole project. And so I was like, you know what? I'm never doing that again. And then as far as like my design aesthetic, I'm a bit of like a minimalist. I love really simple, geometric, graphic, like Swiss design is my favorite. And so I started to just step back and take a really simplified approach at creating these shapes and these forms in that 3D program. Because I actually started with like a free version of Cinema 4D that's included with Adobe, because I have all the Adobe programs for my regular work. And it's very limited, but I think because of how limited it is, it allowed me to just try learning the simple things first. So I just started practicing, like I watched some tutorials and learned how to set up your environment and how to set up your lighting and how to create materials. And I think the whole like glass materials, I started with that because that was like the most basic, simple one. But then when I started seeing how the right lighting, the right environment, the right colors could interact together, I was like, I'm very in love with the aesthetic that was starting to form. And it was something I hadn't really seen before. And that's something that was exciting to me. It was like, I've always wanted to create something unique and that I hadn't seen. You know, I follow a lot of artists and designers, and when I see their work, I'm inspired and jealous of you know, being able to see something and know exactly who created it. So I think when that started to click, I just went full force with it. And so, yeah, when I started, it was all a matter of creating these simple shapes and rotating them certain ways, duplicating them certain ways. And it all started with the flowers. And I think because flowers have this kind of natural geometry to them, that just felt like a natural place to go. And that's really like, I don't know, just the kind of the ability to infuse my really simple color palette that I love. Like I use primary colors because I love the kind of idea that any colors can be made from the mixing of primary colors. And, you know, the idea of diversity and inclusion. I love that kind of story and how that pairs. And my own take on a rainbow, if you will. So that's kind of what I pursued for that. And from there, that was like the very first NFT I minted was this floral bouquet, which our very own Sylvie picked up from me before I'd ever minted any other work. I had not established any following. She just believed in me and did it. And that moment changed my whole experience in the space. I guess the only reason I'm here right now talking to all of you is because she believed in me and she introduced me to all of you too. So that lit a fire under my butt. And I pursued that. And then I wanted to I didn't want to limit myself to any like one subject matter or style for that. And I don't know, I love cute stuff. So I wanted to find a way to extend that. And that's kind of how Fragile Friends came to be. I loved like just it all started by I had one of these a flower and I like put a face on it. And it just like made myself laugh. I was like, this is so silly and stupid, but I love it. So I kind of just went with it and was like, what are some other random things that I can make really cute little figurines of? And so, I mean, just getting kind of the it being received the way it was, I was like, okay, this is something. So yeah, I've just kind of been branching out and I have multiple collections that I'm trying to build out because I want to be able to like take a break from one and go to something different. And I think that'll just keep continuing to happen as I go into this.
Yeah, thank you for sharing this incredible story. I think as you mentioned that Silvio played a big role in your journey. I think it's the same for all of us that when you enter the space, it's, if you have someone who believes in you, this can be really incredible. And and you basically started out with your work started out with the flower collection, the Fragile Flora collection. But now it seems that you're developing more different characters like these, what you mentioned, more playful and this little character like the whale and the moon and the stars. Will you add more like characters to this Fragile Friends collection in the future?
Oh yeah. So when I first started it, I was like, maybe I'll build this to 100. So I've done 20 so far and I planned to do 10 a month, but then in June, I decided to do 10 extra. So I did 20 last month. But yeah, once I'm like on a roll, it just happens really fast. And so, you know, sometimes if a friend reaches out to me and they have a specific request, I'll try to sprinkle that in. I especially love the challenge of like putting a face on something that doesn't naturally have a face. So that's why maybe I've steered away from like animals or people or anything, but I think it's fun that way. But yeah, if there are people who have specific ones, I've been kind of, you know, building those in too, but I definitely want to keep building that out. And then my other one, the Delicate Doodles one, was just like, I wanted something that maybe felt a bit more fine art and it lets me really play with like my love for geometry a bit more and creating different forms that way. So that's kind of how I've just for myself built out a variety so that I can keep adding to those.
Yeah, I think I already made a special request if you remember that for your Fragile Friends collection.
Was it did you say ukulele? Was that it?
Yes.
I may or may not have something on my list. And I know Shrump up in here really wants me to make the poop emoji. So that might come to life too.
I think it's actually a good idea to hear what people like the special requests and to like also get some ideas and develop from that. Espresso, you have a question.
Yeah. So first of all, really impressed by all of these shapes and how cheerful they are. Like looking at these collections make you smile and it's, yeah, it's so great. And I wonder, the question is, these look very much like they're kind of made of glass. Is there anything special you have to do to achieve that look?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, that's the main goal here is I just want to bring some joy to the space. Like if people look at my work and smile, that makes me happy. That's all I want to do. But yeah, for this, like glass textures in Cinema 4D are actually really simple. When you create a new material and you set transparency to it, it automatically becomes just clear glass. And so you can then manipulate that to have a certain texture to it. If you want to do like frosted glass or, you know, I have like a white ceramic kind of material or black reflective material. So it's all about the way you add reflectance and transparency to the materials themselves, which is pretty simple. But I think what really makes it work is the way you set up your lighting in it. So if you think about it, the way Cinema 4D is like, it's almost like you're setting up a real physical studio environment. So if you're in a studio, you have your backdrop, you have your floor, and you have lights. And so in Cinema 4D, you're actually building those lights, the brightness of them, the position, the angle, how close or far from the materials they are. And then you have, you know, I have in my environments, I have walls and a floor, and you set those materials to, you know, whatever color or whatever vibrancy you want or however reflective. And so there's a lot of like trial and error of manipulating the settings of how bright something is or how much transparency something has or how reflective it is. And that really just came through through me trying 100 different ways and then waiting hours for them to render out every time and then hating it and having to start over. So now I have it set up where, like, with both the Delicate Doodles and Fragile Friends, I have like a set studio environment that I always start with so that I'm not starting from scratch there every time. So that helps. That's the only way I'm able to actually like pump these out the way I am, is what I'm creating is the design of the core piece. And then thankfully I've figured out the environment, which I still every time find myself tweaking like a little bit because I wish something was brighter. And then I bring it all into Photoshop and finesse it more and make the colors more vibrant that way.
Okay, I think so. I think, yeah, so the lighting works very well in these pieces. And it also adds to the kind of happy, cheerful vibe of them. Like, it's so bright and colorful, and yeah, it's perfect. And also I like how there are some shadows and kind of you can see some colors reflect in kind of surroundings, but that's not the focus. So you've achieved this good balance of the focus is the object and the face and the smile, and yeah, I think that's really well done.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, I think I was surprised myself when I saw how real it looked. And like, that's how the casting shadows and things like that helps really make it come to life. And it's funny, before I was like on Twitter, I was just sharing these with my friends and family on social media, and all of them were like, how are you making these in your house? Like, are you a glass blower, or how do I get one of these pieces? And I had to keep being like, no, I'm just doing this on my computer. And no one understood. They didn't believe me. They thought I had like a studio in my house. And I think that's a fun part of it, is how it looks so realistic. And my dream would be to make physical things someday. Like, if I could pair a physical piece with the NFTs, that's such a cool idea. And I think it's just a matter of like finding the right physical artist out there. It's weird because my things like don't follow the rules of physics. You know, there's just like floating pieces in the air. So I'd have to figure out how to like create something that could translate to a physical piece and then find out whether it's like acrylic or glass, how those would even be produced. But if I can find a person who can figure that out, and also someone who's like maybe somewhat familiar with Web3 and the NFT space, so I don't have to explain what the hell I'm doing here. That's a big ask. So I don't know. I'm going to keep an eye out and see what I can come across.
Yeah, incredible. So you mentioned you work with Cinema 4D for these 3D illustrations. Is this the same software that Beeple uses? Do you know?
I don't know. It might be. He might use Cinema 4D. I know another one a lot of people use is Blender, which is a free one. Yeah. I would have done that, but I'd already spent so much time learning just like the shortcuts and the ways Cinema 4D worked in the free version that I just decided to pay for the full version because I didn't want to have to relearn everything. But yeah, it's a similar type of program. But I think Beeple probably also does a lot of additional like Photoshop touch up and illustrating on top of the 3D work, just from what I've seen.
So it's basically similar to Blender, because I thought it would be like more powerful, like for also for animations and that you plan to do in the future to add also animation to your pieces, single piece?
Yeah, so exciting. I've played with it a little bit, and I just commissioned me to create a little fragile friend of their hug icon that's animated. And so I have animated some of my pieces, but the issue is how long it takes to render out. Because with my pieces, it's imagine it's just one still frame, and just to export one high res version of one still frame of it can take sometimes up to an hour. And then like the hug piece was, I think, 300 frames. And so it has to animate or export every single one of those, render it. And so like I had to decrease the resolution, and it takes so much time. And my computer is just screaming at me when I do it. And so it's a little tough. I just don't have a setup right now for really heavy duty animation. It's possible. I could see myself totally like partnering with an animator maybe to do something like that. But just to like keep up with the work and putting stuff out, it's such a time consuming thing. So I think it'll be, if it is, it'll be maybe more one-off or like commission work, but anything's possible. I have done it. I've played with it. And that's what's cool too, is Cinema 4D plugs right into Adobe After Effects. They speak to each other. So you can create a 3D scene, and then you can in After Effects actually do all of the animation.
Yes, 300 layers, that's incredible. So you only need a very powerful computer for that.
I let it export overnight for like three nights in a row. I just had to do frame by frame.
Incredible. So how long does it take for you to create like a piece?
It depends. So like I have, just across all the stuff I made, I have, you know, some shapes already created that I sometimes take and then modify and change the depth or the way it curves or how it's rotated or how the colors are. And like when I'm reusing existing assets, that definitely helps speed things up. But now I've got a pretty streamlined process. So I create the outlines of the shapes in Illustrator and like draw my shapes, which I'm pretty quick at. And then I take them into Cinema 4D and start to do all the extrusions and manipulating of stuff. But I'd say like every piece on average is 3 to 4 hours. And sometimes if I'm like having a really fun night, I might do like three in one night. Last night I stayed up all night and I did three of them. So, you know, it just depends. Sometimes I'm in the groove, and if I'm doing them all together, it happens a lot faster. But then I'm also, I mean, other artists, designers can, I'm sure, relate. I go and you can mess with something forever and ever before it's actually done. So I'm really practicing trying to just call something finished and not go back and tweak it 100 times. But that could definitely add more time.
When you create your work, when do you get the feeling that it's done?
It's funny that this is another thing with these pieces. Like I, especially in my design life, I just literally go until the minute before I have to show it to the client. I won't stop. But here, I don't know, something has just changed with these. Like I look at it and it just feels right, which I think is also why I love this work that I'm doing. Is I've never done work that I'm that proud of, or I feel so like it, that it's finished. It just, I don't know. It's hard to explain and put into words, but I just try to think of how someone else might look at a piece. And if they aren't going to see any of the little things that I've manipulated on it or that I would catch, I feel like it's ready to go. And it also is just like, if I know tomorrow I want to mint something, I'm like, all right, I got to call it quits. But yeah, I'm trying to be a little more loose with it. And just once I've done, you know, the basics and it feels right, then I just put it away. Then I might come back like one time before I actually mint and go tweak colors a little bit more. But yeah, it's just trying to do a little more self-control.
Yeah, I always feel that it's always more difficult to judge your own work than someone else's, because it's just, you look at it all the time and then you kind of lose the objectivity kind of. Is this also something that you experience?
Oh, 100%. Especially with my graphic design work, it's like sometimes I'll stare at something so long and then I just have to have someone else dive in and tell me, is this good to go or do I need to make more tweaks? Or they'll point something out that I completely miss. But yeah, with this, it's definitely a similar thing. I think I'm always open to like feedback, and if people have suggestions, I try to share some process stuff, just specifically like in my Discords with my friends. like Angel's Wing definitely gets to see more behind the scenes before I like post final stuff up on OpenSea or on Twitter. And same with like a couple of my other Discords. But yeah, if people have thoughts of how something could be tweaked or improved, I'm always open to that. But so far, I think it's just also something people haven't seen before. And so anything is like, yeah, I mean, that looks good. Call it a day. So I haven't experienced much of that directly.
I think if I look away, it's just everything is just perfect. So there's not much to think. You're doing a fantastic job with all your work.
Thank you.
Like, so the way you drop your collection is like you create like a bunch, like around 10, and then you drop them all at once, right? So you just, you work for a while on some new pieces, and then you would just continuously drop into these collections. Is this something that you plan for the future?
Yeah, so this is all part of me learning also and just observing what other artists are doing and what seems to be successful. And I think having a regular cadence or something that people can expect is beneficial to everyone involved. So I think like with my Fragile Friends, my goal is to do 10 at a time and drop those. As far as time frames, I'm trying to keep it pretty loose. I don't want to put too many rules on myself just because then I'll get mad that I missed something or had to delay. But the goal with that is to do 10. And then that's why I also have my other pieces, because then like if I want to take a break from those, then I might just do one or two or three or five. Like I actually right now, I think I have five or six Delicate Doodles that I'm about to drop just because I have them. And I want to just push those out. And those are kind of fun to just do one-offs. I mean, it's interesting. Me and Ashlyn actually had this talk too about specifically for a foundation. I feel like how I've seen most success with foundation is for people doing one at a time. And I think Ashlyn, you did that and it worked really well for you versus what I did when I didn't know anything about foundation with my Fragile Flora. I just dropped three at a time and hope for the best, but the different communities work very differently. So I think like Fragile Friends, I want to keep a pretty clear cadence of the 10 at a time, but who knows, I might change my mind. And then everything else I'm keeping pretty loose, and people just have to keep an eye on Discord or on my Twitter to see what might be coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, that's a great strategy that you shared with us. Casper, you have a question?
I have a couple, actually. First of all, how did J Pretty name come about? And the more important question, actually, I wanted to ask was, you are a graphic designer by your previous profession or your current expertise. You must have so many ideas for new art drops and new illustrations. Do you think you'd be deviating from the current style? I know it's working perfectly for you right now, the beautiful glass 3D look. But do you foresee yourself going down a different route sometime in future? And yeah, when can we expect that, if that's going to happen at all?
I love those questions because that's something I'm thinking about too a lot. But as far as my name, all right, here's the truth, you guys. My full name is Jack Prettyman. My last name is Prettyman. It's real. But I knew if I came in here and I had the name Prettyman, people are going to think I made it up and gave that to myself as a nickname. And so back in middle school, one of my friends nicknamed me J Pretty, like as a joke. And ever since I think eighth grade, I've used that handle for like my Instagram or other socials, just because I don't even know, just because I liked it and thought it was a little different. And it stopped people from thinking I was nicknaming myself a pretty man. So that's where that came from. And then as far as where I could see this going, I think, so because I've done like work so much in brand, I always think through the lens of building a brand, and I've always wanted to build my own brand, but never knew what that would look like or how to approach that. And that's what kind of just naturally started to happen here. And so with what I'm doing now, I'm trying to focus on building what I want my brand to be here in this space. And right now, it's like we're just beginning. It's very early. So how this might grow and expand, I do have a ton of different ideas, but I want what I'm doing right now to definitely be a core part of it, because I think just from watching and trying to see what I can do, I want to grow my platform so that I can help other artists gain visibility. And I think a way to do that is by being consistent and creating something people are intrigued by. And so I think I've found a niche that is working so far for me that I want to keep growing and hopefully, you know, grow my community that way. And then if I decide someday to create a side project or build something from there, you know, I've thought about what does merch look like, or what does a collective look like with how these artists are coming together. So I have ideas for spinoffs that are far down the line, because right now I want to keep focusing on doing what I'm doing now really well. And then because it's so early, I think there's plenty of time for lots of exploring beyond that down the line as well.
That's really cool. Thanks for sharing. If I could just pick your brains on this perennial question that we usually get, of whether artists should focus on a single style of their art versus diversifying. Do you have a view on that? I know you've kind of encapsulated it very well by saying it's about brand management, right? I'm not a marketeer by profession, so I don't really know what that exactly entails. But let's say if there was a new artist coming to the space, like, and if they ask, I actually have a repertoire of different art styles. Should I be exploring them all at once in the NFT space, or do you think they should be focusing first and seeing which gets traction?
So actually, it's funny. I had this same conversation with Caroline, who's part of Angel's Wing, because she has a very diverse range of art styles. And so I don't think there's a right or wrong way to approach this. I think it's just about being different. I personally, for myself, really want to create a cohesive style because of what I've always done in my professional career has been so diverse and different, and I'm catering to different clients all the time. I've never had my own thing. So I had my own reasons for wanting to do that for myself. But I think to be an artist with really diverse styles is also unique in itself in the space. I think it could offer more challenges to building a following and being recognizable. But that's not to say it's not worth pursuing and that it's any less valid. I think, like Caroline, I'm so inspired by her work. And, you know, when I was meeting with her, it was about how I'm always surprised and delighted by the new work she's coming out with, because I'm like, I didn't even know you could do that. So I think it's a matter of how you own that and communicate it. And if you want to be that type of artist, then be that and proclaim that and show us that. And if you want to be a really recognizable immediately, like me or Ashlyn, you see Ashlyn's work anywhere in the space, you know it's hers right away. And I think that really helps her brand to get people back to her. So it's just to your point, Casper, about brand management and how you communicate that and own it. I don't think there's any right or wrong. I think there might be easier and tougher routes, but nothing's really easy in this space.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what you said. Nothing's easy in this space, but I really appreciate the insights. There's no real right or wrong answer, but it's easy and not so easy routes. So thanks for the answer. Really good one.
Yeah, thank you, Jack. So we usually like to end the space with a question to the artists, what advice they have for artists entering the space. And I think you just answered this question perfectly. And I want to address the same question now to Ashlyn or Stephanie, what advice she has for someone who is starting out in the NFT space.
I guess what I would say would be to not be afraid to reach out to your community and your friends and other people in the space. I going into it, I was always so afraid of DMing people. One, afraid to like bother them, but two, to also like ask for advice. But that is something that has become very apparent to me, is how willing and welcoming everyone is and how much they genuinely want to help their fellow friends and like new community members. So don't be afraid to just reach out and DM. Because I've made some of my really good friends that way too. So I'm really excited about that.
Thank you so much. So I think we have we spent like an hour chatting, and we're coming to the end of our space today. And thank you so much, Jack and Stephanie, for telling us your stories, and everyone who joined today as a listener in our audience. Have a great Sunday, everyone, and talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks,
everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye.
In time.